Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they and their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Welcome back, everyone, to Patriot Coalition Live. I'm Matthew Nugent.
And I'm Jason Marocek.
Thanks for joining us today, everyone. Our goal is to create a timeless resource to teach about the U.S. Constitution and the proper role of government, the importance of America's Judeo-Christian heritage, and how to defend against threats to our republic. Folks, we have an email address. We'd love to hear from you. It's freedom at Patriot Coalition Live. That's freedom at patriotcoalitionlive.com. If you'd like to make a suggestion, if you'd like to tell us about how this has affected the way you think or view the Constitution or any other important founding documents, we'd love to hear from you. Our sponsor this week is MyPillow.com. Remember that when we give our time, attention, and dollars to somebody or something, we empower whatever that is. So when you give your time, attention, and dollars to the three-headed beast of mainstream media, big tech, and big business, one of them is Amazon, another is Squarespace, we empower this beast to exert tyranny upon us. On the opposite side of that coin, when you give your time, attention, and dollars to organizations that want to help you, that share your values, you know, companies like MyPillow.com, Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow.com, you help America and you empower liberty. Now, Mike Lindell actually is being sued $1.3 billion by Dominion Voting Systems. You got to be kidding me. Yeah. Nevertheless, Mike Lindell and MyPillow.com represent what is right in America, and Mike Lindell stands up for what is right. So when you purchase from MyPillow.com, you empower Mike Lindell, and you empower a leader to fight for us in our struggle for liberty.
Yeah, no, that's right. This is really important, gang. It can't just always be somebody else who is stepping into the fray. When they do, we've got to be able to support them. And one way you can do this is you can go and shop at MyPillow.com. I will tell you, I've got several of their products. My wife absolutely loves the weighted blanket. She said it helps her sleep so much more soundly. And for me, you know, because I have shoulder issues from my time in the Army, I have a trouble sleeping on one side. But now that I've got the mattress topper, and it allows me to actually get a night's sleep without tossing and turning and my shoulder aching. So it's a phenomenal product. All their products are really good. So again, I want to encourage everyone to go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code FREEMARKET, all one word. So FREEMARKET when you check out. So that's MyPillow.com and the promo code is FREEMARKET. You can get a 10% discount if you do, too.
You got it. So please go to patriotcoalitionlive.com. That's patriotcoalitionlive.com and click on the MyPillow logo on our homepage or find MyPillow.com through our sponsor page. Remember to use the promo code FREEMARKET, all one word, that's FREEMARKET, for a 10% discount. All right. Y'all ready to get in the episode?
Absolutely.
Let's do this. Okay. The title of today's episode is Article 1, Section 5, Congressional Elections and Other Rules in Congress. Okay. As a review, Article 1 is about the legislature. Article 1, Section 1, what the legislature is comprised of, which is a bicameral Congress, meaning two-part, and the Constitution gives all lawmaking authority to Congress. Article 1, Section 2 is about the House. Article 1, Section 3 is about the Senate. Article 1, Section 4, which has two clauses, the first dealing with setting the times, places, and manner of electing our members of Congress, and with how often and when Congress must convene. Now, today we're talking about Article 1, Section 5, which is on election. Oh, the first part's on elections, okay? And we're reading now, quote, "Each house shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members," unquote. There's more, but we're going to stop it there and take it in pieces. Okay, so what this means is when there is a challenge to the state-decided outcome of a congressional race, the only body able to judge the outcome is the respective House of Congress. Meaning, if there's an issue with the House vote, a representative, the House will address it. If there's an issue with the Senate senatorial election, however, The Senate, or respectively, the Senate will address it. Okay. Now, not even the Supreme Court may intervene in rendering an opinion unless it is only to direct the matter to the respective House of Congress.
Right.
So what this means is literally a House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, could lead the House and eventually nullify results. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that they will decide the results. Once the result has been nullified, the rest of the Constitution takes over on how to deal with the vacancy, okay? This section of the Constitution is playing out right now in Congress, because in Iowa, a Republican representative won by only 6 votes.
There were
about, that's incredible, 400,000 votes cast, and it was won by 6. So all those grassroots organizations out there, shout out to Charlie Kirk and his Turning Point USA. God bless that guy and his organization. They were critical there. 6 votes. And the Democrat that lost is challenging the results of the election and saying there were only 22 votes. That there were 22 votes that were not counted, and if counted, would make the loser the winner. Okay.
And they're challenging it by sending a letter to Congress, right? Which is specifically sent to Nancy Pelosi. So that's how they're dealing with this, just like the Constitution prescribes.
Yes. So that begs the question. So, Jason, my question for you is, can a majority in either the House or the Senate then overturn any contested election?
Well, the short answer is yes. If it's a congressional election, then, the House can overturn, vacate, nullify an election for a member of the House, and the Senate can do the same for the Senate. So the Constitution says they are the judge for elections, meaning, the results of the elections, the returns, meaning, all the numbers that are coming in that the state compiles for them to determine whether or not they were valid or not, and the qualifications, meaning the qualifications of the members. So they are the last stop, the last judge, as it says, for any election for a member of Congress.
You got it. So moving on to the next or the rest of this portion of the Constitution, quote, and a majority of each House, meaning both the Senate and the House, shall constitute a quorum to do business, but a smaller number may adjourn from day to day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of absent members in such manner and under such penalties as each House may provide, period, unquote. Now, what a quorum is, it's an official term meaning the minimum number of members required to conduct official business. Okay. For example, so you've got a homeowners association and they're 500 members. That organization could say, we only need 10 people here of the 500 to vote on business. Okay. So the quorum would be 10 people present. Now, it could be 20%, it could be 60%. Okay. So a quorum just means the minimum number of members required to conduct business. The Constitution here is setting the quorum officially at a simple majority, which is 50% plus one. Jason, why is this important?
Well, at the most basic level, at least in Congress, the reason why we want to have a quorum or any matter for that matter, is you don't just want a couple people to decide the business that affects, many thousands, millions, hundreds of millions, right? So in Congress, we don't want, if the quorum was set so low, let's say, 14 senators to do business in the Senate, you could potentially have 7 states who are deciding things for the entire nation, right? You want, and that's why they said as a majority, is you want at least a majority of the people represented in order to, create law. So that just makes sense, right? That's common sense. But a more practical reason, at least back in during the founding era, when they were deciding on the language in the Constitution, was, back then the Capitol was going to be in New York, right? Before it moved into DC, the capital of the nation. And so imagine if you had set the quorum so low and you only needed, you know, again, let's say 14 members of the House to do business. Well, you may have 14 just in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area. Mm-hmm. And if those were all that was required to do business, and they were shrewd in the way they wanted to apply this, they could completely wear out the other members of Congress, meaning that you've got people coming all the way from South Carolina. You've got people from the far Northeast that are going to mm-hmm. come down. It's going to take them weeks to get there on horseback or carriage or whatever. If they wanted to, you know, start their sessions early and hold them late, you might start getting representatives like, you know what? The quorum is only 14. They could get started without me. I don't need to rush to get there, or I could leave a little early to go home. And pretty soon you have just a minority of the people who could essentially start deciding things for the country. So back then it took on a little bit different meaning, same principle, but the mechanics were different just because of the time and transportation that's required to do that. So this is just one of the precautions that they were thinking about when they set this in motion.
Yeah, certainly it's similar today, but by far more different. You've got congressmen who have business, say, in Texas at their home state, in their home state, but they also have business in Washington, D.C. So they're constantly, I know Ted Cruz is going back and forth to Texas and Washington, D.C. all the time. But back then, I mean, why do you think it took 2 years when it came to the ratification of the Constitution?
Yeah,
because they had to talk to people, they had to get consent, and they had to travel. So that this definitely makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they wouldn't, they may not have come back home to their home districts for months. And so it was a big deal.
Yeah. So one of the points we talked about in this clause is the word compel. That's a nice way to say force and get someone to do something by any means necessary. Yeah. So the minority can compel the majority. This is interesting. I think you guys will really like this. Now, the minority exception was required to make sure that the government did not shut down. Okay, so that they're saying, number one, you need to have a quorum, and it's defined at 50%, or excuse me, a simple majority, 50% plus one. And well, what happens if it goes under that? The minority can use any means to get the others there. Now, for example, if there are three parties or factions, one of the parties can hold the others a hostage. Let's say there's 30, there's 40, and there's another 30%, three factions. And maybe they don't, the mix don't have, you know, the quorum required, to, you know,
right,
a simple majority. So how would they compel the majority? There's law enforcement officers, the sergeants of arms. Jason, has this ever happened?
Yeah, believe it or not, it has. And in some, I know, I think it's pretty humorous circumstances, although I'm not the, mm-hmm. the one that was involved. So, you know, in 1897, during the 54th Congress, they used the sergeant of arms to compel absent members to report to Congress and vote on the treaty with Britain. And at that point, there was five parties, not just the two main ones that we have now. There was the Republicans, mm-hmm. the Democrats, the populists, the silver Republicans, and then the silvers. I'm not sure what the difference
names.
Is. Yeah, right. Silver Republicans are the, I guess, the gray hairs.
I'm thinking that.
But anyway, so the vote, and this was, it was 23-8 with 58 mm-hmm. absent in that one. And so they actually, that was the vote in order to compel the other members to come, right? So the sergeant at arms was, you know, sent out from there in order to enforce that, right? So there's another interesting, you know, as we were kind of just doing some research for this episode, we came across an article. It's actually out of the Washington Post from 1988. And it says, I'm going to read from the article. It says, quote, Senator Bob Packwood, he's from Oregon, was carried feet first into the Senate chamber by Capitol Police early today as Democrats ordered the arrest of absent senators in a dramatic filibuster showdown over a Democratic bill on spending in senatorial campaigns. Packwood's arrest came after Democrats forced filibustering Republicans to hold the Senate floor in nonstop session through the night in an attempt to wear down their opposition to the bill. But as midnight approached, Republicans called the Democrats' bluff by ordering a series of quorum calls and then vanishing, leaving only Minority Whip Alan Simpson from Wyoming to hold the floor. Democrats were unable to muster a quorum on their own and, in a highly unusual move, voted to have the sergeant-at-arms arrest absent senators in a move to keep the Senate in session until a quorum of at least 51 senators could be obtained. So you can imagine, I just have this vision of a sergeant-at-arms and his crew, like, mm-hmm. manhandling this guy feet first. He's struggling coming into the halls of Congress. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. So this is a really, I mean, it's not used often. Like we just saw here, 1897, and then about 100 years later in 1988. It doesn't use often, but it's important. Imagine you could just have a majority party just say, you know what, we don't want to do anything, or we want to avoid any good legislation happening, or, you know, what they consider bad legislation. And they could just sit things out and nothing could be done. So this is, again, as we talked about in our last episode, this is tantamount to essentially dissolving the country, because you can't make laws. The country is made on the laws. And so there had to insert some text in the Constitution to make sure that business could continue. And that's why they allowed the minority to have this power. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the next clause, which actually deals with the rules in Congress. It says, each house may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and with the concurrence of 2/3, expel a member. Right. So these are some pretty harsh words, right? Yeah. They can expel a member. So let's talk about the rules first. So as it says, each house gets to determine its own rules for its proceedings. And the way they do that, you know, actually it was when Thomas Jefferson was a vice president. He was trying to figure out what his role was going to be in the Senate as the president of the Senate. So he came up with a manual, if you will, of rules that he thought that they should abide by. And today that those rules are still used in the House. I think they're doing some different things in the Senate now, but between his manual, in each session of Congress, they either approve or change the rules that they're going to use for that Congress, both sessions of Congress. Mm-hmm. So between those two things, each house gets to decide exactly what they want to do and how they want to hold their proceedings, you know, what rules they work by and everything else.
So they can do anything they want that is according to their own rules. When I say they mean each house of Congress, the House and the Senate. They can do anything they want that is according to their own rules and not in contravention to the Constitution. For example, they can censure anyone with a simple majority vote, for example, but a simple majority vote can't expel a member because 2/3 of the Constitution is required. Excuse me, 2/3 vote is required by the Constitution to expel a member, okay? Yep. So it just goes to show you that Congress has a lot of power and a lot of interesting rules too.
You know, I think this one is playing out most recently too. I think they were trying mm-hmm. to expel a member just recently.
That's right. Yeah. That is right. Moving on here, talking about the journal, okay, quote, each house shall keep a journal of its proceedings and from time to time publish the same, excepting such parts as may in their judgment require secrecy. And the yeas and nays, meaning a voice vote, of the members of either house on any question shall, at the desire of 1/5 of those present, be entered on the journal, unquote. When it's entered on the journal, it's recorded for everyone to see. Now, a voice vote is meant to keep business moving because there are a lot of things in Congress. And Jason, would you say it's probably about half? I've heard someone say at least half of the things that go through Congress, it's a bipartisan vote. It's just kind of like, yes, we need this. Let's vote it. Move on.
Would right. you say procedural it's, things, you know, as you well stated, just basically to keep business moving.
Okay. So there's a place for that. However, a voice vote does not require a journal entry. So we the people can't see what they vote for, hence the 20%.
Yep, no, that's exactly right. And so to ensure, this is really to ensure that there's the ability to record a vote in the journal. Again, so just for those of you, you know, you listening here, you can go to congress.gov and drill down into the House and the Senate, and you can find the journal of the proceedings for the previous day and maybe even some of the current day. So as it happens, they enter these things on the journal that are required. So sometimes, as Matt said, they just do things by voice vote. But sometimes to make sure that you that there's some accountability by our members of Congress, you want to know how they stand or how they voted or what they think about this or that. Because otherwise, how are we going to hold them accountable? How are we going to know if they are worthy of our vote the next go round? Which is really the takeaway here, is that accountability.
And you'll hear some congressmen, Ted Cruz says it a lot, I want to have her vote or his vote on record so the American people will know. Because people who are, how is it says, liberty dies in the dark, democracy dies in the dark. If we can't see what's going on, if there's no transparency, evil will prevail. And the journal, the record, public record, and it's incredible that what Jason's talking about, you could actually see what's going on in your country. And it's encouraged that you do that.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, for example, let's say the current Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's got a pet bill or 30 that she wants to cram through Congress and vote on while she's got the majority. So rather than slowing things down and allowing the minority to have their, you know, their voice and their input and everything else, you know, let's say that she just moves or makes a motion in Congress to, you know, let's say suspend debate or, you know, let's say, I don't know, she wants to, suspend debate and just simply vote on the bill because she knows she's got all the votes and not allow the minority to have their way or to be able to observe all the rules. She could just say, look, I move that we suspend the rules and just move to a vote. I'm asking for unanimous consent. Right. Something like that. That's if no one objects, then she can just plow right on by. If someone objects, then obviously they have to, you know, take a voice vote at first. But to Matt's point and to the Constitution's point, if the minority party, in this case, the Republicans, they get 20% of the members of Congress to say, no, we want a recorded vote to show that you wanted to suspend the rules and to push forward with this vote. Well, if 20% of them vote for that, then they've got to actually enter their names in on the journal. They've got to record the names of those who wanted to do this. And so again, it gives us a little bit more visibility and insight into what they're doing in Congress. So that's it on the journal and the proceedings. So the last section or the last clause part of this section, Article 1, Section 5, deals with adjournment. And the Constitution says this, quote, neither House during the session of Congress shall, without the consent of the other, meaning the other House of Congress, adjourn for more than 3 days, nor to any other place than that in which the two houses shall be sitting. So basically, unless the House gets permission from the Senate and vice versa, they can't adjourn for more than 3 days. You know, they can take, let's say, a weekend break or something like that without getting permission from the Senate. But if they want to take more than 3 days, the House has got to get permission from the Senate and vice versa. And they can't just say, you know what, I think the House is going to go and we're going to meet somewhere else. We're going to go to Hawaii this week and we're going to meet in Hawaii. So they can't do that unless they get permission from the Senate. In fact, as I understand it, the fact that we're, during this whole China virus pandemic, the fact that Congress is meeting somewhere other than physically in the Capitol means they probably would have had to get permission from each other, in order to meet, via Zoom or whatever.
You got it.
So that's it. We're going to probably adjourn and meet in Hawaii at this point, but we're just asking the audience for your permission, if that's okay. No, just kidding. It'd be nice, but that's not in the plan. So that's all for today.
We're both in great states. Jason is in the great state of Texas, and I'm in the great state of Florida with a great governor. Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. So, great work today, Jason. Folks, remember, your time, attention, and dollars matter, and where you spend them matter. If you spend your dollars with Amazon, you're empowering Amazon to cancel and censor people with conservative principles, and you're helping give billions, that's billions of dollars, to the enemies of liberty. Now, when you shop with freedom-loving businesses like our sponsor, MyPillow.com, you weaken those who mean to do us harm, and you empower freedom-loving companies, and you help us out in this podcast too. So please go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code FREEMARKET, one word, very important. That's FREEMARKET, all one word, and you help us out in this podcast too. So if you're not already a regular subscriber to our podcast, please, where you get your podcast, places like iHeartRadio and Spotify, please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate that. So thanks, everyone. We'll see you here next time.
Bye, gang.
Bye now.